Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday. It feels like a Monday. I'm Greg Hahn, Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management, and with me is Adam Kunz, Head of Trading and a Portfolio Manager here at Winthrop. And good morning, Adam.
Hey.
Yeah, right? So let's, we got a lot to cover this morning. We got some movement in the equity markets. We want to cover the jobs market from last week, talk a little bit about Brexit, the upcoming election, and how it'll impact the market. And then, let's just start in. So Adam, what just happened? So we saw a huge correction. We've talked about a rotation out of technology and how to structure it into a portfolio. I think what we were all surprised at what happened.
Yeah, the velocity of it.
Yeah.
So it starts with volatility index spiked to above 35, both in the front month and on a one-year basis. So anytime we get above 30, kind of like to say that stocks are in the yuck bucket at that point.
The Financial Times released that they'd uncover the NASDAQ whale.
Yep.
So what happened?
So we've got SoftBank, who's made a number of bets just over the last year that have made people scratch their heads. And their most recent is a $50 billion option bet on the NASDAQ, potentially, and really that it'll go up. So they're call options, which puts them at significant risk if the market goes down. So it's curious that actually a couple weeks ago, Goldman Sachs put out an article because a lot of people were blaming retail investors and your Robinhood on all of this option trading and the volume spikes that we've seen.
Yeah.
And they said, there's no way that it's the retail investor. It's way too big.
Yeah.
And clearly that it was SoftBank is so big.
So first, what is SoftBank?
I mean, I would say that they're basically a venture capital firm.
but they're acting like a hedge fund.
Yeah.
And it's a publicly traded company.
It is.
And they're known for making big bets in tech, the tech space.
Yes.
And so this is a very unusual move. Why would they do it other than they could profit from it? Was it a profitable trade? Can we tell yet?
Well, we know that it was profitable because the trade has been on for a while, but it's obviously levered at $50 billion in notional. So we'll see with the most recent drawdown, and it's going to be even worse today.
Yeah.
Like I said, we don't have full transparency. We know it was profitable coming in because even just in the month of August, the NASDAQ was up 11%.
And it's focused on large cap tech, right?
That's what they're saying, yeah.
So, I mean, these are quality companies like Apple, Microsoft,
yeah.
Salesforce.
The things that are working, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess we'll see, but you can definitely, and they're probably unwinding some of it, which you can tell in the futures and the velocity of how quickly this is trading off. I mean, even just the divergence in what the NASDAQ is doing versus the S&P and the Dow, you know, Thursday, the NASDAQ was down 6%, where the S&P was down 4%, the Dow was down 3%. And then anything that was equal weighted was down about 2.5%. So it's really concentrated in those top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I don't want to do is just jump to this conclusion that, you know, that the rotations happen, it's all over, because if you really look at the numbers, I don't, you know, 3 days of down don't mean that this thing is completely unwinding. If you look on a 1 month basis, the top five stocks have averaged a return of 4.27 versus the other 495 have averaged a return of 1.28. On the last 3 months, the top 10 stocks have averaged a return of 13.5. The other 490 have averaged a return of negative 1.34. So to say that there's this rotation that's truly happened isn't true. Now it is. That is what we've seen is that there's a rotation out of tech and into, you know, your more defensive stocks. But I would say that would happen in any sell-off.
Mm-hmm.
Financials are still underperforming. Year to date, they're down 20%.
Yeah. What else is going on in the equity market then, other than earnings have been pretty quiet now, right?
Earnings are quiet. There's more talk about vaccines and that the healthcare companies are going to come together to make sure that they are safe and coming with a with their vaccine rather than just pushing it out to market. So, but overall, I would say that the equity markets on a news basis are pretty quiet.
So we've got we're into September, so the end of the summer. Oh boy, that went fast. And we're into the third quarter, the tail end of the third quarter. So second quarter was marked by the pandemic. The first quarter was March. That was really the beginning of the pandemic. We're expecting a tough third quarter again, even though we are seeing some elements of a recovery. We saw that the labor market last week, unemployment went from 10.2% down to 8.4%. Yep. But when you looked at jobless claims last week, they actually increased week over week, which is problematic. So we're starting to see some of the structural issues, structural unemployment issues that we were concerned about with some of these workers that were furloughed becoming permanent layoffs. And I think when we get into the fourth quarter, it's going to start, the momentum's going to start to slow.
And I'd also argue there is, if a lot of the PPP money that you took, you couldn't lay off or fire people until September 1st.
Right.
So that would not show up in that 8.4 number. So we're going to see, and we've already seen in the headlines, right? I mean,
so we had a base case of a fiscal stimulus package before the election. There's a game of chicken that's being played right now in the government between the Democrats and the Republicans in terms of what that, whether we're even going to have a package. And I think, was it Larry Kudlow came out this morning and just basically said, hey, if we don't get one, we can live with it, which is unfortunate because we had the Cleveland Federal Reserve Chairman, Evans, said that basically we need government support in order to get this to mute the impacts of the pandemic on the economy. We're still in that type of position, so they can't agree on what that support looks like, and so we could go into the election now without a fiscal stimulus package, which I think would be would cause severe damage.
Agreed. Totally agree.
Yeah. So that was something that we're looking for. We still have a base case because it's necessary, especially when you see some of the service companies, the restaurants and some of these, it's going to impact the commercial mortgage market also.
Yep.
As companies, need relief from making their rent payments. So, all right. So we've got, a focus on the labor market, concern over where we are from an economic recovery, a volatility in the equity market. And the volatility looks like it can be contained. It does not look like a pandemic-based sell-off as much as it does just a trade-isolated issue. So we'll see. What's going on in fixed income?
So last week, we saw rates come back down. If you recall, the prior week, we saw a quick spike in rates on the Fed minutes as inflation fears picked up. We saw the 10-year drop from 79 basis points to 71 basis points. And I would say spreads just generally kind of held in there despite what stocks did. So like you said, felt a lot different than the pandemic. I'm sure some of that has to do with the Fed actually buying corporate bonds, supporting spreads. But overall, the corporate bond market really held in there. Want to talk about one trade that we did during that time period was we wanted to do two things. We wanted to extend duration with rates up. Tactically, which we did by putting on 30-year debt. Typically, we would do that in high-quality treasuries, but this time around, in that idea generation kind of mill, we've added to Apple, Amazon, and Google. And our thought process here is that these are AA-rated securities where the companies have more cash than they have debt. And if you look at the debt-to-equity ratios over the last several months with the equity cap growing so much that these companies really, the leverage ratios are shrinking to the point that they should be AAA. Yeah. And our belief is that they should get upgraded. And if you look at, like I said, their cash position, their debt position, and just overall their business model and revenue stream, cash flow is very strong. There's really no reason they shouldn't be AAA. So wanted to play two sides there. We're extending duration, but we're doing it in a higher quality corporate that we think, you know, has meaningfully spread tightening.
And then in the portfolio models, Adam, we had been talking to investors about using an equally weighted ETF to help mitigate risks that we were seeing in the S&P 500.
Yep.
Those have actually played out on Friday, and then they'll play out today. How long they go, we don't know. But this the strategy of an equally weighted ETF alongside the low volatility ETF that we use, the MSCI product, in a diversified portfolio to help diversify that large cap basis. How has that performed?
So like I said, last week with equity markets, or specifically the NASDAQ down over 11%, and just general equity markets down 6% over Thursday and Friday, the equal weight was down 4%. So outperformance of 200 basis points over the S&P and significantly more over the NASDAQ. Like you said, as the smaller companies have just generally outperformed.
Let's shift to international. So a couple things on the international side. So first, Brexit. So the where we are in the time clock for the whole Brexit is, in order to get a deal done by the deadline, they have to agree by October 15th. So they basically have five weeks to get a deal hammered out. So it looks like Prime Minister Boris Johnson signed a bill that kind of overrides what they agreed on in the EU, which has to do with borders up in Northern Ireland. So the big sticking point is Northern Ireland part of the EU? Is it part of the United Kingdom? Should it have a hard border, a soft border? And so I think this is a take it or leave it. So the issue could be that UK leaves without a deal.
Yep.
And what that does, we don't know, except that it's just, again, it's uncertainty. How markets are handling uncertainty today with the flood of money that's in the system, it seems to be fine, but what actually happens though, we don't know.
Yeah.
So that's a chapter that still is yet to be written, but something that we are tracking. How that plays out, we have both developed exposure, developed country exposure, and emerging market exposure in our portfolios. We overweight developed exposure just because of the sustained growth and a little bit lower volatility. Emerging markets tend to do better when capital is flowing, but they have higher volatility associated with them, just as investors. And we're talking about equities now, but there's also both developed and emerging market debt, which we do not use in our models right now. And it's really a belief that, especially on the emerging market side, that it's just not investable given the slowdown in global growth. Now, we went into the pandemic already back at the end of 2019 with the IMF and the World Bank predicting a slowdown, 3% slowing in global growth. So then comes the pandemic, and then the bottom falls out and there's no capital flowing. So these countries now, Brazil, India, and then you could put China in there, but China kind of stands on its own, but Russia, and then you go right down the list with the Philippines, Indonesia, Turkey, Egypt, South Africa. These are countries that have challenges with respect to economic growth. And without capital, we don't see an opportunity really for serious appreciation.
Right.
And the pandemic has hit these countries pretty hard too. So in combination, so asset allocation would say, hey, we need to have some exposure in order to diversify the portfolio. But as investors, we look at it and say, well, what's the catalyst for price appreciation? So right now we're not seeing one. So we have some exposure, but it's a massive,
very small,
massive underweight. What do you see anything that would change that right now?
Well, and I would say if you look at the emerging market index, you'll see that it's actually done pretty well, but it's all China. If you look at the layers underneath it, the only thing that's up is China.
Yeah.
So to me, if you're looking at emerging markets, you just got to look at China and what they have. Outside of that, there is nothing.
So there is a tug of war in the industry also, where MSCI wants to use more China in its mm-hmm. product.
Yep.
And then the current administration is really pushing back on using investing in China and using it in exchange traded product and mutual funds, making it uninvestable. Whether Trump gets that done or not, what that looks like is right now, it's not clear.
Very clear, yeah.
But the other thing too is that heading into this election, I'm going to transition to the election now. But heading into this election, there's how much he can actually get done prior to the election remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Right. So he's got several initiatives. Some of it is being hard on China. So there's a tariff on cotton coming over from China.
Yep.
Now. So some threats about peeling back even more from trade with China. So how much we can actually get done, I don't know, but, it's going to be really interesting and how it impacts the market. So I like the where we're positioned right now, which is an overweight to domestic large cap, and we do have some mid and small cap exposure, and then an underweight to international in our models.
Yeah.
So anything that you would add to that? It's a lot to cover.
It is, yeah.
Especially on a Monday morning, which feels like a Tuesday. Why don't we end it here, Adam?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. You guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you through the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.